Hold on, just wait a minute. See if it's...
I think it's something that we can do.
Yeah, let's
go. I just need to find out who within the city that I would need to work with. So, I need some direction from you guys. It is in the best interest of everybody. It'll be a big benefit, not only the city, but to Park and Rec. And I look forward to moving forward with it.
I would say that it would be our city manager, or is it Public Works?
Probably. Hey, everybody's looking at me.
Well, it's something that was discussed before, and I have a letter from Rick Allen on some of the benefits, and I've talked with DEQ, I've talked with Todd County, and he's talked with DEQ, and they're all in favor of it. And so the county doesn't have any reservations with going ahead with this. It just needs some buy-off from the city.
Is there consensus that with the council that we bring this to the next session? I think it could be talked about.
I think so.
Would you be agreeable to come to the next council session on the
12th?
On the 12th?
9/12 during hunting season. Yes, I'll be there if I need to.
That's right. That's right. The pine shuts down.
Okay. I can bring some information forward, and would you like that ahead of time so that we can move forward on it?
Please.
And what would be needed? And like I said, it's something that's been done before, and so I just would like to see it happen.
What type of a sewage dump would it be? Like we have in town where you fill it up and then we go pump it out?
Part of it would be, I mean, it wouldn't have any type of drain field in it.
Yeah.
It would be, I'm having Neil Russell right now, he's doing a bid on it, and it would actually be two 1,500 gallon tanks hooked together that would be pumped, be put in so that if the city, or when the city gets out to their city property, that you would be able to hook up to it. You don't have to say when that might happen.
Yeah.
But with that, it would make the park much more attractive. We've got 60 more campsites going in there and everything. So it'll be completely closed system.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just wondering, would it be appropriate to have all that material be given to Public Works and then they make the recommendation?
That's really my guess.
And you're Public Works?
I am, but we have a Public Works committee that I think
that's
you're
right,
referring to.
That, yeah.
Okay.
And they'd meet the 11th then, I think.
We do have a letter from the city manager on that topic as well.
Yeah, they meet the Tuesday before the regular session of the council.
Okay, so maybe I'll
remember
to make sure I can get to the right people.
And you may want to, the chair is Tom Weller.
Oh, yeah, okay.
If you want to give him an overview that he's prepared, but provide documentation so they can make the packets for the members of the Public Works Committee.
Okay, awesome, great. That sounds like a really good
item
avenue.
Two.
I do appreciate that. The other thing that I would just like to make mention, there might be other people that want to make mention, is now that we've finally got the president to sign off on the transfer of that land, I just want to make a statement to the city council that to keep in mind the history of why that came about and how that came about, and all the work that's gone into it between the Frontier Days and the Rodeo Club was the main thing that spurred this off. So as it moves forward, imagine you'll be involved in that, because I know you're involved in part of that BLM trace. To just kind of keep that in mind, some of the history and how we can move forward on it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are there any other?
I have a comment, but I didn't know if Joan was going to speak.
Name and.
Linda Stevenson, 50808 Huntington Road here in Lapine. I'm not inside the district. I'm speaking without anybody's authority. I'm a person unto my own about a project. Do you understand or just my voice is pretty loud?
You're fine.
Are you going to speak to the item 15?
I'm going to speak on another one.
Oh, okay.
has to do with the ball fields.
Okay, because we've also got an item 15. But I think you have liberal discretions to speak to both that item and item 15 if you'd like.
About a month ago, prior to the Olympics, I was approached by the grandparents of Ashton Eaton. And they had told Ashton how much I've done in the community, and he conferred to them that he had a project he'd like me to work on. And 2 years ago, he went to somebody at Park and Rec and wanted to invest time or money into the ball fields. And in his words, he was shined off, which was kind of sad. He had already set many records by then. And I explained, it's been very hard to contact Ashton because he's in Europe. His mother, Roz, got very sick when she was coming back from London. The day after she got back, she had a temperature of 104. So she didn't want to call Ashton because she didn't want him to come home. He's on the first vacation he's had with his fiance, Brianne. And so she finally talked to him and told him that if asked, I would be willing to pursue the ball fields. I have not been asked by anybody else. I'm speaking just as one person. What he would like to see done out there, and I explained to him we had a water problem. And as everyone knows, Sun River Resort wants to come on in this project and put a team on laying irrigation pipe in there. I have called one of my friends, John Wellborn, that is a part owner of Wiki Up Station. He owns Furcus Plumbing, and he owns a plumbing business in Salem. And he wants to help, not, of course, donate all the plumbing pipe. And I told Roz, Ashton's mom, that we can't do anything until we have water out of those fields. His concern was, him and his mom did not realize we had incorporated in 2006, and I had emailed you. I just wanted to confirm that. He did not know that we had a tax base for our Park and Rec district. When they lived here, it was a loosely run town, and his concern was either if he contributed or put his name behind it, that who was going to maintain this. Big concern. So I am under the impression that in the works, eventually there may be a part-time maintenance person. Whether that would be attached to those fields out there, I don't know. So everything, and as I've conferred to Stephen, I gave him the name of Ashton's management company. And everyone has, thank you.
Paul Doyle.
Paul Doyle out of Georgia. And he handles many athletes. As you know, yes, Kim?
Would you mind if I ask you if we could get to what you're trying to tell us?
What I'm trying to tell you, this long story,
we
are going to approach the water issue. Mm-hmm. And so I just want you to keep in mind that he's asked me to work up a proposal of what it would cost to put those fields into tournament position.
Okay.
And the maintenance, the cost, I mean, it's a big project. And he has given me the name, I don't know if you realize, the Olympic Committee has funds for grants to do ball fields. The Joe Morgan, famous baseball player, has money for grants for ball fields. So there is a lot of grant money that could be gone after. But we can't use Ashton's name until everything goes to his manager and he'll contact Ashton.
And this information is for the council's
for the council's education, where I'm coming from when I ask about different things, because I'm trying to put together a proposal for him. My feeling is that this could be a win-win situation. Not only, and another thing that we are proposing that I talked over with his mom and stuff, is to do an Ashton Eaton kids camp once a year for 2 days anyone, any kids from the state could come in, and future, or the coaches that he has had in different events, things that he's done. Brian Earl's coached him, Scott at SNS coached him, his coach at the high school. We could put together a big camp to show kids. You never know, there might be one kid out there that could be inspired, and this could bring people in from all over the state just to meet Ash and...
Is this going to be part of your proposal then? And I assume you will bring... You will share that proposal with the city?
I will share that proposal, but I have not gone to the board of Park and Rec, and this just, we finally got a hold of him today.
Okay.
So it would all have to be approved whether the Park and Rec board would even want me to pursue anything like that.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Any further public comment? Hearing none, I will move to item four on the agenda. Status update on Wickiup Junction and 97 overpass development.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There's a couple issues here with 97 overpass. First of all, the city and ODOT are trying to craft together an agreement, and I think we're in the final throes of coming to some accord. And once that accord is reached, then we will provide you the product so you can take a look at it and make sure that you agree with it. Also, we have entered into another agreement with ODOT whereby we do this TSP study, Transportation System Plan. And as part of that Transportation System Plan, because I've raised objections to the overpass going in without some study of how that's going to affect the Cagle neighborhood and Wickiup, because they're both dependent upon each other. And if you just come and you slice them apart, then we have yet another division in our community that we have to reconcile. So part of the negotiation is hopefully to have the agreement that we reach with ODOT provide for some additional funding so that we can review consequences of that overpass coming in as it might relate to retail and to land use. Okay, so that's kind of, I just wanted to give you a status update. It changes weekly, but I think both items are close to suit.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Questions, counselors? Okay. Item five is the streetlight placement. The Public Works Committee has identified 19 sites or streetlight placements, and Mid-State has identified a preliminary cost to install lights at the various locations. You should have a map in your packet.
You should have two items. You should have a map
and
and you should have a list. And I'm just giving this to you so you can start thinking about it, because probably at the next Public Works meeting, which I believe is on the 11th of September, we will probably identify locations for this year that will come to you as recommendations. Meantime, Tom Weller, because he's an electrical engineer, has also had his staff craft some kind of cost estimate for each of these locations. So as they come forward, you'll have their recommendations, and you can follow their recommendations, or you have discretions to do whatever you want to do. And you'll have costs. But I think what we're thinking is that we probably need to have a streetlight plan. It's not enough that what we did this year, if you recall, as one of our goal items was say, you know, we would try to identify locations for streetlights this year and put those in. As I talked to Tom, he says, you know, having a 2 or 3 year program is probably more cost effective and it also helps us strategically figure out where eliminations ought to go. So I'm just sort of giving this to you as an item of interest now that you can be thinking about when this comes forward, probably in about a month, what's your druthers? Okay? And that's all. And it's just a fun little thing. I thought I would entice you with some fun little thing. But it also demonstrates progress. And I think next year when we go to do priorities, I'm going to ask you folks to also consider streets. And maybe each year we do a street in addition to a street light or a sidewalk in the street and a street light. Whatever. So as to demonstrate over time that we're making progress and we're becoming a full-fledged city. I'm glad to answer any questions you might have.
I would like to go back to the point in time when we talked about goals. One of the ideas around the goal that come up with the streetlights was that Midstate had the opportunity to obtain a steep discount on streetlights. We bought four, we'd get four more at half price. And that was a lot that had to do with our setting the goal of putting in streetlights or moving forward on a streetlight plan. I don't recall that we spoke to putting in eight streetlights. I think it was more the case that we'd put in four streetlights and have the other four for the following year. So I just want to call everybody's attention to the fact that how we got started on streetlights
Can you remind me if there was a time frame on getting the two for one thing?
Yes, it was, I think, by the 10th of August, and I'll tell you what I've been told by Tom Weller, that they backed out of that totally.
Oh, okay. All right.
So our basis for making a decision to buy streetlights in the count of eight is really gone away. I mean, we talked about buying four, but let's go for eight if we're going to get four of them at half price.
So we probably put that in the budget.
And we put that in the budget.
So the budget figure is really what we need to work with.
Right. The budget figures are what we need to work with when we start talking about streetlights. So.
I just have a question about, when I see this list on the right of the map, uh-huh. Some of these have ones and twos and threes. Is that numbers of lights at that location?
Yeah, potential.
Okay.
As we talked to Tom, he said, you know, some of these locations, he says, you just need a street light. Some of them, you should put a street light cat a corner from one another. And then in some locations, he said, there's three good sites.
Okay.
So what he's trying to do is provide us with as many options as mm-hmm. possible. So, you know,
sure.
You make good decisions about how to illuminate the community.
Okay.
He's also offered up a lighting agreement with the city, and I've got that on my desk now, and I'm kind of looking it over, and I'm going to give it to our attorney. And then there's yet another document that's going to come your way. It kind of enumerates the relationship, cost factors, you know, what they will do, how they will assist us.
Yeah.
And it's sort of a 10-year contract. But that'll be strolling your way soon.
You're about to get blinded, so.
Blinded by the light?
Yeah. It's moving.
And isn't that a song?
How does this work out with the ODOT plans that we have? Will this fit in with that, or are we going to have to do some alterations to that plan to make these set in, or how's that going to work?
Well, there's a couple considerations. I think it's part of the improvement of First and Reed and 97 that they're going to probably put in some luminaries there as part of.
They are.
I'm thinking they will, as part of the signalization, and as part of realigning the roadways, and as part of what putting in the walkways. I think they're going to put some light in there. But also, right now, there is a luminary, as you go into Gordy's truck stop there, the road that goes into Gordy's truck stop, that's Roseland, right? Okay, and then also at Burgess, as it intersects 97, there's two street lights. And both of those have 100 watt, between the three lights, they're 100 watts each. And in talking to Tom, he said that they're designed that if you wanted to put a 300 or 400 watt bulb in there, that they would handle it. They're pretty expensive, the 300 and 400 watt lights. My thought was the city could pay the cost to have those wattages upgraded, which would do a lot to help light up the Wakey Up Junction, which is awful dark, and it would be a safety factor. And those, even though they're on 97, they're county lights, so the agreement would be with the county, whereby they would maintain, they would pay the maintenance and operation fee for those three lights, but the city would offer up a higher wattage to provide some safety. And so that's something I'm talking to George Cole and Chris Doty about, is whether they would be receptive to lighting those things. Because anywhere we put lights in or increase the wattage, we create safety. And we create it on two accounts. One, it gives law enforcement agencies the ability to drive by and see something and have a better understanding what's going on there. And it just helps with connectivity, and it helps people feel comfortable going out after dark and walking the community, and we want to create a walkable community too. So, you know, it's a very important thing we do with street lighting. Okay?
I think I'd like to see when we bring this back for consideration, I think I'd like to see what our budgeting is and what the cost are the pieces that we thought about as a cost factor.
Oh, okay. You bet. So let me make a note of that.
So this came from our
Public Works.
Coming from our Public Works. They're still working
Good.
On it.
Good.
But and I've already received, I've asked each of them to give me 8, and they're doing that.
Okay. That's what they're for.
And then we'll have a battle, and then Scott will say, you stop it, and they'll stop it, and we'll vote.
That's what he's Somewhere. For.
Sounds good. You know, he's the community's only skyscraper.
And we love him dearly.
Yes, we do.
Item.
Does this
any further
mean you want us to come up with which one we would prioritize for the first run? Is that it, or do we just go with whatever Public Works presents?
No, I think what they're going to do is they're going to give you their best guess as to what makes sense, all things considered. They're probably going to look at it cost effective and strategically. All right.
That's fine.
And then, as the mayor pointed out, along with that will go a cost factor, and then we will show you the budget, how much we budgeted for that item. And then keep in mind, you know, you do have some other monies. For instance, when we increased the assessed valuation from $1.80 to $1.90, those were matching money, so there are things we can do if we want to do them, and you want to increase the number of luminaries or whatever. And there's things that we're not going to get to this year because we're just not going to get to them. And maybe you want to redirect some of those monies there. So it's really your call, and we'll give you some options, okay?
Okay. Any other comments? Hearing none, we'll go to item 6. Request for the League of Oregon Cities for a donation. The League is requesting an unspecified amount to support their program. And there is there's a supporting document from the League, and it identifies what they use these donations for. They haven't had a request, but they haven't sent out a request since 2008. And just to start it off with, I'd like to point out that I got a scholarship to go to the first Oregon Mayor's Association conference last year. Plus, we got last year's $85 membership paid. And it seems to me we're about to, League of Oregon, didn't you apply for a grant or a scholarship? And they probably will fill that because it's only available to first-time attendees. And they pretty much have a good record of everybody that applies gets money. But so we've been, and my membership was, I think, well over $300 that they sponsored last year. So it's a good program that they have, and it's explained in this letter that they've provided us. They talk about a scholarship for 5 cents per capita. And I figured that out, and I think it's $87.50. So that'll come back to us for a decision at one of our meetings. So, and I use 1,650 people as a
how much per capita?
5 cents. So I mean, it's something to think about. I think it's a worthy program. We've benefited from it significantly. So,
well, and we've benefited from the League of Oregon Cities
absolutely
since day one. They were nice enough to loan us our first attorney at no cost, sent us to the League of Oregon Cities conferences at no cost. So, yeah, I agree. It's something we need to think about. Get back to.
And we may want to look at a just a fixed figure.
Yeah.
You know, a $300 fixed figure or something that we know we've gotten that much from so far. Yeah. Do we want to do a consensus here on this?
I just put it on the next agenda for a formal vote.
Okay. And that's item
six.
Item six?
Formal vote.
3 minutes.
So you guys have to wear your
formal tie.
Black tails and top hat.
Item number seven is Ashley Neaton's discussion about means of honoring this outstanding athlete. City Manager?
Yes. This is sort of serendipitous, is what I'm going to frame it. If you recall back in May, Mayor and I went to a conference in Madras. It was the annual conference of the five commissioners that run ODOT.
State Transportation Commission.
And while we were there, I had the good fortune to have dinner with Matt Garrett, and Matt is the director of ODOT. And we were talking about some of the issues and problems here in Lapine. And I said, well, one of the things that we kind of have conflict with is identity. And that's because if you're coming from the north, south, you come into the city and then you're in a national forest, and then what's this? You know, if you're coming from the south, you come through a city and then the national forest, and what's this? And there doesn't seem to be some common thread that kind of unites it all together. And then you add to that that Highway 97 disconnects east and west, and with all the assemblage north and south, it's just really hard to have continuity, and that one of the things that we are striving for is some sort of identification and continuity. And I said, with that in mind, could we rename Highway 97 through our community? It's done lots of communities. Name it something else. And he thought about it for a while, and he said, yeah. He said it meets the state's objectives. He says, you know, trying to help people with land use and identity is real important to us. And he says, I'll direct the staff of District 4 that if you folks want to do that, then that's fine by me. So then the issue became, well, what do we name Highway 97? And, you know, I wanted to name it Go Ducks, and everybody thought that was really a bad idea, okay? For what reason, I don't know. So then it dawned on me that we have someone that we're very proud of, someone that's one of this community, raised here, someone that is an outstanding athlete, and not just an outstanding athlete, but, you know, somebody of the caliber of a Jim Thorpe, or, you know, some incredible athlete, Michael Jordan type, and so I'm throwing out for your consideration that we name Highway 97 through our community, and there, I'm still good, would have some hoops that I need to look at, for Ashton Eaton. I just think that helps us with our identity, it helps us with our continuity, it gives us some bragging rights, and it demonstrates how much we respect his athletic ability. So I open it up for, you know, your thoughts on that subject.
I like the idea. I think it's a great opportunity to honor him in a lasting manner, something that when he's an old man, he'll still be honored for his accomplishments, and plus it's good for the people in our community too to have that affiliation. There's a lot of people, as you talk around town, that knew him, that went to school with him, that taught him, that had some connection with him, a lot more than I thought. I mean, a lot. I think it's appropriate.
So what's your druthers?
I think we need broad support for the community, and I think it should be out there and let some of the community give their ideas. I have no objection to it, but I just feel that it's a bigger thing than five people should decide. I think it's something the community should decide, because it isn't, what we decide isn't going to be just for a year. We're looking at 50 years down the road. And I think it's a great idea, but I do think we need broad support from the
sure. So any suggestions about how I would go about acquiring some support that would give you some confidence level that there is broad support? You know, personally, I think there is broad support, but, you know, I certainly don't want to jump out in something in front of...
For instance, why not ask the Chamber what they think? Because they have a lot of businesses along the highway, and they're going to have to change their address and so forth. I mean, like I say, I have no objection, but I think that if we move forward and we know that the community is behind us, it will make it easier for us.
Stu?
Well, I think, you know, with what Dan said and with what Don is saying, I think if the city goes ahead and names it, the community is going to fall in behind it with full support. I think we need to act fast on it in order to gain, you know,
the benefit.
The bragging rights,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So I think if we move forward, I don't think the community is going to have a problem with it. So I think we just need to move forward without haste.
With haste?
With haste, I'm sorry. But also along this line, there's another athlete that went to the Junior Olympics and brought home a gold medal. So, you know, we need to consider something along that lines too, and I bet nobody even knew about it.
That's cool.
Well,
so
what's his name?
Dion Mock, who has been inside this chambers when we did the dedication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kathy?
Yeah, I agree. I'd like to see us move ahead with something, and I understand what Don is saying. He wants to make sure everybody's involved and has their say. I agree with that too, but I don't want it to be delayed either. I think moving ahead with it is as soon as we can.
If we get it in the newspaper and things, I'm sure that if there's any objection, that you'll hear it in a hurry.
Yeah.
I'd like to say that I agree totally with everything that's been said, I think it's important that what Don has said, and then it brings me right back to what Stu is saying. We need to act in reasonable haste. However, I believe it would be very easy to put a general ad in the Newberry Eagle and the other two newspapers, Frontier and Wisebuys, that just a simple question: what do you think about naming Highway 97 Ashton-Eaton? Call City Hall, yeah. And give that the time for the next two issues to come out through the Newberry Eagle, and then we'll have our council meeting. And I think we've done two things: we've offered it up to the for the community, and we've done this in what I consider reasonable haste, without jumping off the cliff, because we know for one thing that we have a city manager here sitting with us today that we brought the community in to help us find the right person, and that showed the community bought into it. So mm-hmm. So it's a valuable tool, and I appreciate Don's part there. So I'm all for it. Any comments along that line?
Yes, Stu, you have some thoughts?
Let me finish Stu here, Bob.
I think, another two weeks to our next meeting? Our two issues in the paper is going to be...
Enough?
Yeah. Well, I'm not worried about too much time going by. I think that's just too much time. And as far as the address changing, businesses don't have to change their addresses. It's still going to be Highway 97.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's a big concern for a business. So I think you were going to mention something about asking him if it was okay. That's a good point.
I think asking Ashton, he obviously wants to invest in the community, but giving his permission might be a big component of his investment in the community.
I think we have one more comment here on the same subject of asking
him. It was brought up by his mother to Ashton when she talked to him this morning. There's a lot of people that want to use his name. It's almost become a brand. And your proposal to do it, as I told Stephen, needs to go through his management. And he, as soon as he gets that proposal, he will give that to Ashton, and Ashton will make the decision. But he was all for it. He thought it was great. But he has to be very careful that his name is not, let's say, used in vain.
Okay.
He didn't think it would come to this, but and Stephen knows that.
Okay.
All right.
I
thank you.
We have this hole in. I agree. For me personally, as part of this, I agree that I think we should act in reasonable haste while the light's still burning.
And it has to go through this committee, then that's going to add more time. So I think we need to come to a consensus tonight. That's just my thought.
Do you think we can come to a consensus if we go ahead and say yes, if he agrees, and we go ahead and take input from the community anyway, but move forward with it?
That's what I would think.
Don, how does that sound to you?
Well, certainly.
Okay.
That's the way. I mean, okay. We can write the letter right now and get it underway, because it still requires a council formal vote. And if there's some reason that nobody knows about, they can still say yes or no. Hmm.
I think the consensus is that we move forward. And the haste issue is of equal importance or more.
So sort of three things that I plan to do. One is I plan to talk to Paul Doyle, and I've got his email address, so tomorrow I'll just prompt the inquiry and tell him what our druthers are. Two, I still have to talk to Gary Farnsworth. He was going to research the laws, make sure that even though Matt said yes, that if there were any issues that we'd know about, okay? And then thirdly, it surely wouldn't hurt at all to put something in the newspaper that says this is our aim, and if there's any issues or concerns on the part of the constituency, please let us know, because there's likely going to be a formal vote one way or another on this at our next council meeting. Okay?
Sounds good.
All right?
Yep.
I like that.
Great. Well, I'm excited, you know? Yes, ma'am.
Stephen, he also said that in referring it to his management, his attorney would probably have to see that, but Paul Doyle would run it by his attorney and make sure it was...
Okay. Yeah, and again, we wanted to do this by the book, but if we do this and we do this right, as you say, I mean, Jim Thorpe, if you think about it, I just noted him as a great athlete. He was in the Olympics in 1912, 100 years ago. So Ashton's Eaton's name can be out there easily for 100 years. I mean, and so it's good for his family, it's good for the community. It's just a win-win.
Mm-hmm. Any further? Item number 8, discussion concerning the need for a part-time person to assist the city manager with any number of items and issues.
All right, you should find in your packet, there is a little letter from me to you folks. And what precipitated this was at our last council meeting, we had a discussion about continuing Rick Allen's agreement. And you asked me to go negotiate with him. And I had some emails that reflect that effort back and forth. Rick said that, you know, he appreciated the offer of $15 to $25, because that's what I was saying primarily in jest at the last meeting, but that he really wanted something in the neighborhood of $65, but he could do it for $50, and the way he framed the $50 was more or less that he'd work out of his office there in Madras and assist us from there here. Or he'd come down here, but if he came down here, obviously he would need mileage, and if he stayed the night, hotel and stuff like that. So I went back to him and I just told him, I said, well, I thought that was too much money for a part-time employee, and that, you know, could we negotiate something else? And then he finally responded and just said, well, pretty much needed that kind of compensation. So then I got to thinking about it, and I got to thinking, you know, we need Rick, there's no doubt about it. We need him from time to time. He's got certain expertises and abilities and political knowledge and awareness that we shouldn't let go of easily. But on the other hand, to have Rick come down here and do some of the things that need to be done on a day-to-day basis to assist me, and I'm saying that I do need some assistance, is probably just financially over the top. You know, and the other thing is I've got sort of this thing that's growing inside that says, you know, I have all these consultants helping me, and they're all smart people, but they all live someplace else, and we pay them an inordinate amount of money, and they spend that money elsewhere. And further, they take whatever knowledge they gain here, and they have it in their mind someplace else. So what's wrong with that picture? And what's wrong with that picture is I'd like to start reinvesting monies in our community that come from our community, and I would stop and want to stop the brain drain and start investing in people here to help the city. And yes, the people here are not necessarily versed or qualified in a lot of things we do, but you give them some training and you give them some encouragement and some learning experience, and pretty soon, instead of us having a brain drain, we have people here that can help us, and we spend the money, the taxpayer dollars here. So I'm trying to redirect, you know, where the dollars go, and trying to, and I know we have smart people in this community because I run into them every single day. And so my proposal is sort of, let's do something with Rick, and I haven't figured out what that is yet. Maybe a 2-month contract with Rick, okay, sort of to finish up what he's doing, and then have him on a part-time contract as we need him, and then start to think about some kind of a personal services agreement with what I'm going to call a Joe Friday person, and that is someone that can help out. And, you know, I talked to Don this morning, he said, well, you know, do you really need any help? Other than I hear all of you clamoring all the time that maybe perhaps I work too hard, is that, you know, I was sitting at home on Sunday, and I thought, you know, I haven't upgraded my current work list here for a few weeks, and so I ought to do it. So let me pass around. This is my current work list, and you'll notice there's 125 items on it, and it grows by the minute. I mean, we met with the sheriff this morning, and out of that conversation is a need for two or three more contracts. And so we're just getting busier exponentially all the time, and it's not that I'm looking for work to do. It's coming here because we put the little switch that says we're in business. All right? So anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. So any comments or observations or whatever?
I think I understand, and I think that this idea of somebody local or somebody at a level that could pick up and run with some of these, I'm going to use the word smaller projects and assistance, is probably warranted. However, before we get to that, I'd really like to see us come to a consensus with this extension of Rick Allen's contract to help us and give us that comfort level with the several projects that that he's been involved in that are extremely important to us. And like the city manager said, is to just, you know, do a two-month extension, and at $50 an hour, pay him his travel pay when he comes down here, give him the hotel bill or the expenses, because that gets spent in this town, and you know, he spends his own money down here too. So I would like for us to deal with that issue, put that on the, you know, put that to bed, because you know, the issues that we're dealing with is USDA. He knows everybody involved in that whole program associated with sewer and water. He is the right person to bring that to a conclusion. And then the fact that he's been on the road of the comp plan that has brought it to fruition from last year when we met the LCDC, and again next month when we're going to meet them again and hopefully put that to bed. There is no doubt in my mind that we need to consider the fact that there has to be a time when we need Rick only on those special occasions when the city manager recognizes his qualifications and his expertise and his political wherewither to help us do something.
Wherewither?
Where with it?
Yeah. Where with all?
Where with it? Where I come from, it's where with it. And with the gavel, it's where with it. Anyway.
So you mentioned USDA and the comp plan. Is there other areas where we expect to need Rick's involvement?
Well, can I answer that straight out? We, as part of Public Works, interim Public Works Director, he got assigned, and Steve actually assigned him the job of taking care of the Cagle subdivision. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's, he started it. He knows what it's about. Mm-hmm. He's dealt with those contractors that take care of the roads and stuff down there and what needs to be done. And I think that's a perfect project, because there's no doubt that our city manager is, you know, we set a lot of goals for him. Mm-hmm. Or we set a lot of goals for ourselves as a city, and that's part of that's the result of this humongous list. So that's another area that I think is important to look to him for.
Well, like Steve mentioned, you know, the relationships and things like that he's established in some of these areas are
unviable.
We don't want to risk losing momentum in any of those specific things. And we probably need to keep it as short as we can. I don't remember when our comp plan is expected to be.
20th.
The 20th. So we're not that far out. So, he has a great track record. I don't know of any time. He's probably donated more time than he's taken advantage of it. I don't think in my opinion, you've got the right approach. Let's take care of this issue on its own and then consider if we need additional personnel. I mean, that's something. The other thing that some of these things, I mean, I don't know, without a lot of study, I don't know how it affects our budget. In any case, whether it's Rick's or if it's the other potential person, or it seems like we ought to have some kind of, when questions come up, we ought to have some kind of impact on the budget mm-hmm. statement, you know.
I'll save my comment about not, we always used to get the budget figures in every packet, you know, for the month. And we don't see those anymore, and I'd like to see them again. Because we basically learned how to read them.
Well, I mean, on a by-issue basis, if there's something proposed, it shouldn't be too hard to know
where we are.
Yeah, how that's going to impact. I mean, or if we have to take away from something else, what we could take away from.
Well, to answer that, we have budgeted for a enforcement code officer on a 20-hour basis. That's the only other position that we've actually budgeted for.
Okay. Starting mid-year or the beginning of the year?
The whole year.
Enough to pay for a whole year?
Okay. Okay. Stu, you want to make comment now?
No.
Kathy?
I have concerns about Rick not being with us until we feel that he's closed everything possible that he has started and worked with, and connections he has, the one-on-one that he has available to them that a new person wouldn't, not that they would necessarily take it over, but I just think at this point Rick's just been such a great access that we need to try to keep him.
Well, it happens that just today I was jumped by one of our committee persons that said that we've got these two committees and we're not using them. And you brought up Cagle Subdivision, for instance. We have one of our committee members that live at Cagle Subdivision. He was instrumental in working with Rick to get things done out there that it could be turned over and it wouldn't cost us anything. He lives there, he's willing to volunteer his time and see that the work is done out there and bring his recommendations to the city manager for approval. I like Rick. I think Rick was a great asset to the city, and I have no objection to adding some time to his contract or to it. But I think it should be pretty narrow. I think we should just strictly say, this is what we want you to handle for us. And the local things, like sending somebody out to look at sidewalks, it's all buckled up here, we find somebody local to do it. It could be a local contractor, it could be one of our committee people. And I believe, too, that there's a lot of people in this town that are smart people. They're not stupid, they're not dumb. They come from backgrounds where they've been very successful. And I think we should strive to find those people that could help us out. Yeah. I even understand that there's one person that's got a pretty high degree that's offered to come down and volunteer his time for the city. Let's take advantage of some of those. And again, I like Rick. I think he's done a wonderful job for us. And I don't see any reason that we should kick him in the fanny and kick him out the door. That's not what I'm saying. but I think let's limit him to what we really want him to do for us and go ahead and try to find somebody, a volunteer or a low-paid employee that can be here, and when Rick says go look at, or when Steve says go look at the sidewalk and so forth, like we saw a complaint in the emails that came today about the trailer park across the street. I mean, when we get this kind of a complaint in, instead of sending the city manager, we should have somebody available here that could go out, look at it, and bring back a report. And if necessary, it should go to the council. Thank you.
Stu?
I want some cake.
Have two more of my pieces.
Good idea.
Well, I think that we owe it to the community that Rick started this project, and it's probably the most important project that the city is going to have for the next 20, 30, 40 years, besides our comp plan that the state's messed up anyway. But we also at the same time need to be looking for that individual that is in this community and start training them. Because, you know, our new city manager jumped in and there were things that were going on that unfortunately he had to learn the hard way. You know, we owe it to this next employee, which it will be an employee of the city, not to just bring him in and throw him to the wolves. Mm-hmm. You know, like the mess that's been going on with the BLM, how long has it taken to get us to the point we're at? So I think, you know, it's a two-prong attack. You gotta have Rick finish up this project, start looking for a new person, get him on board, use our public utilities committee and, you know, the guys, my hero Scott's people to take on the code enforcement. It all has to be conducted by the band leader, and the band leader is a city manager, and you know, so I think we need to finish up with Rick, and yes, Don, keep him on a narrow, focused project. Thank you.
So I think we're in consensus that we get Rick back on board, make him an offer of the $50 and his transportation and housing needs, use him for those projects that he started that are essential in our minds, that give us comfort level, and for let's say the next 2 months, and then if we find a need, and I think we have one in that you know you can't buy expertise, that some of the stuff that he's got, write some kind of consulting service agreement that the city manager could use for phone calls, and then having that piece of it, look for somebody local that can provide the assistance to the city manager that is part of the community. Is that?
I think we need to bring it back to the council at our next meeting for a formal vote on it. But also, you know, if we, like Dan mentioned, we have to consider the budget. And if we do need to move funds around, you know, take it out of our, I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, but take it out of our cleanup next year.
Out of the mayor's fund?
Well, no. Out of, you know, something else, I mean, because this is important.
Yeah, it is.
You know, so if we have to find, if money is an issue, then we need to look at making some choices of where that money is going to come from.
I need to make a correction. I misstated that it's 20 hours a week. It's 10 hours a week.
Okay.
As pointed out by Councilor.
Then everything is safe.
I had to look. I couldn't find it.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I think that's valid with what Stu said. I mean, we quickly, you know, jump to things and say, well, we can move money around and get this project done. I'm sure we can find some fund in there if that's needed to find that money that we're not using in other areas that we know we're not going to use. And of course, not without going anywhere near the mayor's contingency fund for cleanup.
We certainly wouldn't want to do that because we might have a new mayor next year.
You never can tell. You never can tell.
I have a floor, Mr. Mayor. I think that the city manager should be instructed to kind of narrow the responsibilities down for Rick. I don't think we need him to be the public works director in town. I think we should try to find somebody local to handle that, maybe turn something over to the committee, and...
Now, keep in mind that we have brought the sewer and the water district on board, and I'm trying to widen the scope of their work. And so every time I look at Scott, I've got another assignment for him. But even so, there's just so much that you can squeeze out of our current employees. And if we weren't going to receive any more work, it would be just fine. But this work list that I just gave you, there's about 2 years worth of work on that work list. And mind you, that's my work list. That's not my master list. My master list is probably twice that size. But these are just the current things I'm working on. And there's just an awful lot of work there. There's just an awful lot of work starting up a business. And that's what, that's the realm we're in. We're in a business startup, a lot of hours, very little return on investment, but it will all pay off at some point.
What did I just say? I said, leave it to the city manager to come up with a recommendation.
Okay.
Yeah. But if you cut anything out, I mean, you couldn't overdo it. You know, I see your car down here, like, all hours and stuff, and I get concerned that you might, you know, get burnt out or something happen, and I think you need to, some of those things, you might just have to say tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Well, then again, you know, listen, I don't want to work anymore and I have to work, but there's a lot of stuff that's time sensitive.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot of contracts. I mean, we have an awful lot of contracts. So, I mean, that's probably half my time is spent on contracts, just trying to put them together and negotiate them and whatever. And we probably have 20 or 30 of them out there that we're working on. I mean, there's a lot of people that want to do business with us, but they want to do it formalized. When we met with the sheriff this morning, for instance, he said he wanted us, as part of it, to went to talk to him about code enforcement. He said he wanted us to adopt the county's code enforcement process. It would be helpful to him. Okay, so now we've got to do that. He said that, you know, there's an opportunity to have his work release people come down here and do a lot of remarkable stuff for us, but he wants to have an agreement for that. And then we talked about yet another agreement, an IGA possibly with the county and him for code enforcement. And so you start just adding all these little things up, and they're little things, but then they add up, and then, okay, well, then I need to concentrate my time. But meantime, everybody in town is calling me or emailing me or whatever, and so then every time I go strolling out, it just pushes all this stuff back, and either we can just have stuff pile up monumentally, or we can say, you know, we need to tackle it as we go. And my view is we need to tackle it as we go, and I got to tell you, I'm cheap. I'm one of these guys that screws his socks on in the morning, okay? So I don't want us to spend any more money than we have to. And that's one of my issues with Rick, is it's a lot of money, and he's logistically 72 miles away. And I need somebody that can come in and I can talk to and say, you know, Betty Lou was just in, she's got an issue over there, go take a look at it.
If we could work something, Steve, how, here I am in the office, but what could we start with that would benefit you? I mean, we're not looking at 40 hours a week or...
No, I think I framed it in the letter. This is kind of what I'm looking for. See if I can find my letter. I think I said, however, I do not see the type of... Okay, let's see down here. I'm looking for a person who lives in proximity to Lapine, has some education, versed in government operations, public works matters, contracts, codes, and land use with a can-do attitude. I'm thinking about a part-time person at a modest salary. That's it. And they don't necessarily have to know a whole lot because we get on-the-job training. All right? But what happens is over time, 2 years under their belt, they'll have a lot of knowledge of our city that we don't have to go pay somebody someplace else for. And that's what I'm looking for, is that we invest locally, we keep our monies here, we enhance the brains here instead of a brain drain.
What you need to do is start looking as school starts up again. Go to OSU for their interns. You know, some of them, we found one here.
Excuse me, you said BSU?
No, OSU.
You
the orange and black people.
That's pronounced.
Yes. You said and blue and orange?
No. We were fortunate enough to have one several years ago. But unfortunately, her fiancé was killed, and you know, she had to leave. So there are people out there that are working their way through college.
Well, and I meet them. I mean, they come down here and they're smart. I just see them and I know they're smart, and I'm going, why am I exporting all of our everything to somebody someplace else?
I know what you know with. Some of our stuff, where I work, it's the same thing, and it gets so frustrating. But you have to have the time to train someone, and that's what we're trying to get for you.
I don't think there's a question about having somebody to assist the city manager in the capacity that he described. I'm not sure what those hours are, but I'm sure that he would figure out what the hours need to be. And however, I mean, to me, that's a separate issue from getting this thing done first with Rick, to get him on board and get him going, because we have not dealt with USDA in the kind of fashion that he kept his teeth into the issue. So I would like to see us get back to that and get him involved in time for us to go, for him to go to Salem with us for the comp plan.
Yep. And we did. We decided to put it on the next agenda.
Absolutely.
For a formal vote.
Yep. Based upon his last request.
Right. And so then we went into this discussion.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Okay. So if I understand properly, what we're going to do is the city manager is going to talk with Rick and come up with a proposal between the city of Lapine and Rick to move forward for the next 2 months, and it will be pretty much based on the agreement between the two as to what's necessary and what we need in Lapine, with the idea that perhaps maybe later on we'll take on a second person. Is that correct or not?
Well, I think I'd like to ask you if that is a separate issue, taking on another person.
No, it's all intertied because it's tied into the budget. So everything comes together. We're supposed to meet the budget. So if you try to go with one without considering the other one, you need to consider them both.
Well, I think we have considered both of them. The idea being is that we want to get Rick on board, and we also want to have an additional person to help Steve with all of the things that he needs done and in the fashion that you described. Yes.
Okay. I understand.
I think you're both saying the same thing two different ways.
I think so.
Okay, it sounds like Oregon ducks and beavers. Now I can see why.
I prefer it said the the beavers and the Oregon ducks.
Okay. But can we the Broncos?
We're asking the city manager to deal straight away with Rick to get this agreement put together and bring it to the council for approval next
at the council
meeting. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so something to do with football, right?
Right.
Okay. All right, the next item, and I put this on here, just we can't say it enough, and that is We want to reach out to the Huntington Meadow neighborhood, but we want to reach out to all of our neighborhood. We want to reach out to all of our constituency and let them know that we're here, we care about them, and we want to know what their issues and concerns are. As we met with the Huntington Meadow homeowners association here about a month ago, Ken, we just were talking about what we could do in a partnership with the homeowners association, which is kind of collecting. And the thought was, well, let's have a neighborhood cleanup day. And that sort of steamrolled out, and the generosity of Wilderness is going to put some major dumpsters out there, 30-yard dumpsters. We're going to have flyers that focus in on who's coming out and what's going on. I believe there's going to be a barbecue. We're going to have representatives from other agencies, public agencies out there talking to people. But I think the underlying effort is to let people know about the city and what services it will provide as time goes on, and then also gain the familiarity what the issues are within that area and see if we can't start addressing them so that people over there feel safe and secure, and we know them and they know us. And so I think I want to also, just in closing, say that that is scheduled for September 8th, which is a Saturday, and coming right up.
I think it goes along with something that we discussed last year, and maybe it was just earlier this year, that that we had many people come to us from Huntington Meadows and address the council. And we come to the conclusion that with all the problems that are over there and the kinds of issues that they're trying to deal with as a community that wants to have a livable community, we were going to become a partner and we were going to help them do whatever it took to straighten things out over there. And this is where we are today with that. So I'm hoping to see all of the counselors over there with rakes and shovels and a barbecue spatula and all that kind of stuff on the 8th.
I need to clarify something in this.
Well, did I mess up?
Well, no. You know, this Wilderness Garbage Company is not donating these.
No, I understand they're not donating. When I'm saying this, it's the generosity of going out and helping me strategically figure out where to put these, and certainly the city is going to pay for the 230-yard dumpster. In fact, I think we've already done that.
Okay,
that's done. But nonetheless, and I think in general, Wilderness Garbage is a very generous contributor to the community, and I'm sure that we will get a pound of flesh out of you one way or another, Stu.
I just need to clarify that.
When he said it.
Well, in the way it's worded.
Okay.
In here. I don't want, you know.
Any misconceptions.
I just need to be careful.
Yes.
Okay.
Are there any comments about item number 9? If not, I'll move to item 10, discussion about increasing the employee's health insurance contribution.
We're getting flyers.
Okay, item 10 here, we're marrying together three organizations. We just did that, and they'd be the city and the sewer district and the water district. The city, the sewer and the water district folks had a very good health insurance program. The one that we have here in the city, I'm going to say, is pretty plain Jane. And the thought was that perhaps we could reconcile the difference between what they were receiving and what the city was receiving by bumping up the health insurance premium from $800 to $1,000. What that means is instead of a person receiving $800 a month in health insurance benefit from the city, they would receive $1,000. And I don't know your thoughts on that, but nothing ventured, nothing gained. Okay.
Comments?
I'm just thinking budget. You guys are the budget people.
$155,000 budgeted for medical health insurance between the three agencies.
Okay.
And it's running, well, I'd have to give you the breakdown for the premiums.
Okay. But we've got, we're okay with it? We've got it?
Thanks.
We have $155,000 to spend for health insurance, so I mean.
But we don't know what we're spending now?
Right now, with everybody signed up pretty much singularly. And I think we've only got one person who is taking advantage of the $800. But the other people that signed up, Jake and John, both didn't sign up their families. They couldn't afford to pay for it.
Okay.
So they were getting quite a bit from water and sewer.
Mm-hmm.
And that was inequitable because everybody's premiums were different.
Mm-hmm.
This would make it equitable to the point where everybody gets the same consideration, and it's still going to be out-of-pocket expenses for a lot of us. If we want to put our spouse or family on there, it's still going to require employee contributions.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that the employer, being the city, is paying all of anyone's premium if they add on family members.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, go ahead. Define for me equitable consideration. Is that what you said?
Right. For an example, with water and sewer before they came on board, I think one of the premiums was well over $1,500 for one employee, whereas for another employee, they were only getting, let's say, $850 for a premium. So in that respect, somebody was getting more consideration than another employee.
I think what I meant was, by raising it from $800 to $1,000, how does that bring it to, how's there a disparity in the equitability of that between the employees? I mean.
No, well, that would make it equitable. Whereas before, it wasn't equitable with water and sewer.
Everybody's getting $800, right? Everybody has the advantage of taking the $800.
Right.
So that is the across-the-board equity.
Right.
Okay? So if we raise it to 1,000, then it doesn't change the equability. It just changes the level that they could afford.
Correct.
Okay.
That would be probably better said.
Okay. Okay.
Let me say it another way, and that is, that if the health premiums were increased a little bit, then they might be able to put their spouse on, or they might be able to put a child on. It enhances the health ability of the family unit. And that's why I throw it out.
Does that mean that right now, if I am signed up with the city, and my premium is $700 and you allow $800, does that mean I get $100 cash?
No.
You have to actually bring receipts in.
I just question.
No, that's a good
that
question.
Was all. I don't think that we should make any of our employees suffer to the point that they can't include their family in their health insurance. And I think we should do something to make certain that every one of our employees with a family has an opportunity to at least afford insurance for their family.
Stu, did you have something you were going
to
say?
I was just trying to figure out who's our insurance with?
CIS.
And what's the deductibles?
It depends on family,
right.
How many you've got. So I could give you a broader picture of that by giving you an email and giving you the specifics of it. However, for like one person, for myself for an example, my deductible is $250 and it only covers up to, I think it's $1 million or $2 million forever.
Okay, and what, so you as a single
My single premium.
Premium, you're out of...
I have no out-of-pocket right now for my premium. For my premium.
And so what's your share of the premium?
I have no share of the premium right now.
The city pays it all?
Under the $800.
Okay.
The plan that you've chosen, can I, excuse me, is, okay.
Yeah. The plan I chose, which we all have the same plan. You can't, you don't get to choose different plans. It's about $550 per person for one person. But then as you go up, you have an option of adding a child, you have an option of adding your spouse, or you have the option of adding your entire family.
Right.
And so there's four different levels that you can sign up for depending on whether or not, you know, you have a spouse or you have a child or you have a family. And of course the most expensive one is the family.
I know, we have the same.
Right. And that is, I'm going to say, around $1,600 a month to insure your entire family.
Without any copay? I'm sorry, Steve.
But that's, the city's paying that?
They would only pay $800. The employee, if they wanted to sign up an entire family, would have to pay the other
$800.
Okay. And mind you, we have people who remain like $15 an hour. So they've chosen not to cover their family because they can't afford it.
Okay.
And we do have families then.
We do have families.
I don't want to sound like the ogre, but you know, we do need to be responsive to the needs of our employees. However, we're not in the position to determine what their choices are and how valid they are. I mean, granted, we should arrive at a reasonable level and then let them make the choice about whether they want to spend their money in one direction or in another, because we have no control over how they choose to spend their money, their disposable income, whether they put it into health care or they put it into any number of other things. And I'm not against looking at this at all. I think we need to have some numbers. I think we need to have a better understanding of what they really have available to them and what that $800 really means. Mm-hmm. And the kinds of plans that each one of these single person with just a spouse and a person with kids.
Mm-hmm.
I need that to just be sure that I'm looking at the whole picture and not just bits and pieces. Another thing that I consider also is whether we like it or not, we have an established tax base that we know what that all is, and we don't have the resources. You know, sometimes we need to make hard decisions about things, but prudent and fair. So that's how I see
it. I think maybe seeing some figures would help too, because I'm used to the other way, that the government putting in so much, and then you chose your plan, so whatever that plan was, I had to pay $300-$500 above what they put in. So I could choose one or two, like three maybe, that we had. So that's the only way I've ever looked at it. It would help to see what your...
Yeah, I'm not sure with CIS if you can have several plans on the table because we are so small.
Okay.
Maybe with a larger one, I don't know. I have to ask that question.
Okay.
Another consideration is we could increase the deductible per family, and that'll reduce the rate. So, you know, we could do something like that as well. And so
these
I'll get
are very
prices.
Set plans within the CIS.
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 Right.
Okay.
I think we have Well, we have like a $20 copay right now. And the deductible is, you know, like maybe $250. And the premium is X number of dollars. But if we raised it to, let's say, $350 deductible, it would reduce the premium. And maybe have a $25 copay or something like that.
Okay. Are we limited to these folks? Could we go out and shop? I mean, because some of what I'm hearing, you know, your premiums and everything are like...
No, I don't know.
I mean, we could, you know, but you're probably going to get the better rates because they are, you know, a huge pool of municipal employees. Anytime that you come together with that kind of buying power, you're going to get more for less. Well, kind of like Walmart.
But hard to look.
But yeah.
Because you have probably... few less employees than we do, but what I'm hearing is you guys are getting screwed. I mean,
maybe so.
Let me see if that's how I had it on the agenda.
No, you didn't. But, I mean, you know, for us to cover a family is cheaper than what I just heard you say.
Yeah.
And
that makes sense.
The welfare of the employee, you know, they go to work a little more whole because they know their family's covered.
Yeah.
Right.
And nowadays, I think several of us, or probably all of us, know you can't do anything with the insurance that you have now. So it's important that the families are covered. So I'd like to see us go out and look for something a little bit better.
One along those lines, I would like to understand the plan we've got.
Well, that's I don't get more than one. To
yeah. Well, I mean, true, but I think if we understand the plan we've got now, mm-hmm. and all of the pieces of it, we may find that oh wow, all of this is in there. We just need to adjust it in a fashion to make it more beneficial. We may not need to go out and like find another one. I agree with the comments about this is a great pool and the municipalities have in this CIS program, but I think it's there. And I think if we understood that very well, we could make a very good decision here about, well, that isn't equitable. That isn't. And your point about the fact that if you've got your family covered, you go to work a lot, feeling a lot better about yourself and where you're going to be tomorrow with both yourself and your family. So, but I would like to see us, I would think we'd like to know totally about a plan we've got because it may be a very good one.
Well, then I'd like to see this plan, but at the same time, go out and start shopping.
Yeah. Okay. I'll
because that will take a while to get those.
Sure. I mean, go out and start looking for plans, but bring all the information back to us so that we can talk about copays and one person, two persons, three things. Okay.
Well, then who's your, you have a local agent
Art
that
Euchre.
You deal with?
Just Mark
yeah,
Euchre,
though? Yeah, we use Art, okay. Lapine Insurance.
Art is living here.
Anyway, he still
owns and operates.
Yeah, because I call up here and I still get him.
Well, you know, you talked about how great you could get with your big pool of all the cities if you look at some of the insurance in the state of Oregon. It doesn't look to me like government has done very well with their insurance.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it kind of knocks out Kaiser because we don't have Kaiser available around here. And we do have some HMOs up in Bend.
What? Try to get a hold of Pacific Source.
Pacific Source? Okay.
Are we comfortable with where we are in this discussion? If so, I'll move to item number 11. It's a discussion about the city's cell tower lease. We have been asked by a business group whether we might be interested in selling them the city's tower contract, whereby the city would receive a lump sum in the range of 9.5 year payment rather than annual payments over an approximate 30-year period. There is a letter here describing what their intent is and what their offer is. or the basis of their offer. So if you read that, you know, if I can make the first comment, we keep talking about how busy our city manager is and how much we're doing, and we ought to look at things to slow things down a little bit. I think this is a perfect opportunity for us to put this on the burner and pick it up at another time. That's my feeling.
Almost nothing come here to pay for the health insurance.
Don't you believe it.
Aren't you funny? I don't think it's very funny.
Stu, start us off here.
I say we keep the lease. Keep the money coming in. I mean, you're looking at some of those figures, we'd be able to afford some of the health premiums.
I think the discussion is around, you know, do you want a lump sum, you know? Mm-hmm. Like that TV ad that says, I want my money now. Yeah, I'll give you a nickel on a dollar. And you also have the argument, and we know what this argument can really come down to, is where are we going to be 10 years from now? Is there going to be towers? If we look back at what's happened in the last five, in the cell phone we went to what we have now, mm-hmm. I'm questioning, I'm in somewhat agreement with him saying that you don't know what's going to happen 5, 10, 15 years. Yeah. But for the sake of argument, I'd say keep the cell tower and move on down the road and deal with it later. We've got enough on our plate.
I agree.
Thank you. Don?
Well, I personally think we need to be very careful tackling this because I agree with you. We don't know where we're going to be 5 years from now. Cell towers may be completely obsolete. And I don't think we should tie ourselves down to a long-term contract. That's my opinion. Stalling and waiting later is fine with me.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you. It came up. They called. I got nothing ventured, nothing gained again. I think there's value in their proposal. I think there's value in having that income stream with the city that we have now long term. And who can say which way it ought to go? The only reason that I think you would want to entertain this proposal is if we had something out there that was a big ticket item and we needed $75,000 to leverage that, then that might make sense. But if we don't have such a beast out there, and I don't know that we do, then we can, and not only that, but because now they prompted that as an option, I think we just have that in our back pocket as an option if we need to come up with a considerable amount of money in a hurry. There is an option for us to exercise.
I do have a question.
Yes, sir.
Did this come over with water sewer?
Yes, it did. Yes, it's on the sewer property.
Oh,
it's a sewer cell tower asset that came over here.
And how was this cash flow budgeted in sewer water?
Well, as I've talked to Donna, she advised me that annually in January or February that this outfit in Spokane that has the lease pays approximately $8,800 a year. $8,854. So, and it's a long term, it's like a 30-year lease, provided cell towers are around and provided there's some catch-alls in there. But, you know, if everything goes according to Hoyle, they will pay us approximately $8,800 a year annually.
For how long?
30 years or so.
The contract that's in effect right now is for 30 years. How long has it been in effect?
Since about 2003.
Okay, so.
Got 9 years.
We're down less than 30 years.
21 years.
21 years. So, but what my question was, do we know if that money was allocated for any operations or anything like that with sewer and water?
It's just a revenue stream from them. I think like hay is a revenue stream from the sewer district. Yeah. I mean, they had some revenue streams.
The cell tower rent in the budget actually is $11,200. And this letter that you're looking at says it's $8,854. So I don't know why there's $3,000 disparity in there.
Because they think we're not smart enough to pick it up.
I understand Dan's question, and it really goes to the point of, okay, we know that we can't utilize rate money for anything but sewer and water. Mm-hmm. And in that context, here we have an income stream that is not tied to the rates, so how is that laid out, or how is that secured in the budget? And if, do we as a city have the ability to take that money once and use it for other things besides sewer and water?
I think we do.
My guess is, but I'm just guessing.
So it's a pot of money out there. So think of it as two pots. One, it's a pot annually, the $8,000 or $9,000 or $11,000. Mm-hmm. And if you ever want to parlay that into a bigger sum, you have that opportunity. It's kind of like somebody that wins the lottery, you know, they're offered two choices. You know, you can either get your money as an annuity over 30 years, or you can take some lump sum. But if you take the lump sum, it's a lot less money, but it's a, you know, it's a big pot of money nonetheless. So
well, I think it'd be worthwhile looking to see what those differences are, see why there's a difference in the 11 and 8.
Oh, we need
and then
to do
also,
that
would what kind of interest rate it's gaining, that'll tell you the difference between right. what they're willing to give us and what we have in the long run amortized out.
We're going to do the time value analysis.
And then look and see, is there something we could retire, like lay it against this building and you're saving 6% or whatever
that
number
is. No, and that was the only thing was that, you know, because it is a public agency, a lot of times if you ante up money, then, you know, like for instance, there's a lot of these 90-10 match things out there. That mm-hmm. would be good. If you know, if you had $80,000 and you could, that's 10% of something. Mm-hmm. You know,
we might be able to really leverage that. Not only the interest difference, but the having that sum of money, we might be able to really leverage or pay off something or improve our positions. I think it's worth investigating personally, just a little bit.
Anyway, that was you know, it intrigued me, but I thought, you know, either way, we're beneficiary. It's nice to have an income stream.
Yeah, part of my comments about, you know, let's lay this on the table for a while, because if we go off and investigate this and look at it, it's adding a level of work to the city manager, and comes back to us on the council agenda again that we have to deal with, and I've heard the consensus is that let's move forward at this point in time, and keep the 30-year agreement, and look at it.
Is there any limited opportunity that they're offering? I mean, is it open or?
I mean, it's like anything else. I would think that at the beginning of the year, we go back to them and say, hey, if something comes up, is this option still on the table?
Yeah.
So it appears to me that if they've had it since 2003, we only have 21 years left on the lease.
Right.
And it might behoove us to be careful and not extend that lease without knowing exactly where we're at.
Well, first, we have a complete program here of 21 years that we're going to get some number between $8,800 and $11,000.
Right.
And we don't have to do anything.
That's right.
For that. So.
Do you have on your electronic calendar, you know, set it for a date a year from now to pop up and remind us?
Okay.
And then we can.
I can do that, okay. And would you like me to gather the information and just like disseminate it
over
to
time.
You as far as like what the differences are, you know, like, well, if you did
but
this,
nothing,
you did that.
It's not urgent.
Okay.
Yeah.
20 years times 88.
So I'll get back with you in 20 years.
That's fine because I won't be here.
Okay.
One of our, and we'll move on with that. We'll go to an item number 12, which is dear to all of our hearts, and that's public transit. Does the council wish to have a public meeting on transit-related matters, and if so, in the capacity of host or co-host? If the council is amenable to such a meeting, should it be part of the council meeting or a special meeting?
All right, well, I think that says it all, and I think I'll turn it over to Don, because he can enumerate on you know, some of these options and just his feelings. He certainly brought this up a couple months ago.
And we kind of settled 3 months ago when I asked to have a public meeting and everybody kind of stalled off. I still think that that's the way to go. It should be a public meeting where everybody in the community has an opportunity, whether they live in the community, out of the community. Anybody that's interested in public transit should be able to come and give the city council and
the county,
their views on what they want for public transportation. And I don't think anybody should make up their mind what they're going to do or what we will or won't do until we have that meeting and find out what the people in the community want. Not necessarily what they want, but what they would like to have. I think there are some people that definitely need this public transit. And some people live in town and some people live out of town. A lot of people that live out of town that use it spend their money in town when they ride public transit in. It isn't all just sending everybody to Bend.
Mr. Mayor, if I may. I sit on the Regional Transportation Committee for this area, and I agree with Don. We do need to hear from the public. The information that I have received going to those meetings indicates that it's very important to the citizens down here.
Okay. Kathy?
You know, I just remember whenever it was we talked about it and several people showed up, you know, it was important to them.
Dan?
Oh, I'm always looking for another meeting.
Well said. Stu?
He's sick. I think we need to, and Don and a few other folks would recommend, get it on a separate meeting.
Right.
Get the county down here
before
winter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, I agree.
Yeah.
I think in order to be a co-host with the city and the county, and I think we ought to always remember our responsibility is with the citizens of Lapine's tax money. Granted, we have some community responsibility here, but we still answer to the citizens. And I'd always like to know exactly what our citizens' use is. And I think a public forum is an excellent way to go, as long as it's co-hosted by the county that can respond to the fact that they have an obligation to
the county.
To the county property. So what's the next part to this then? Direct the consensus to direct the city manager to move forward on
and us to meet agree on the date.
Put that on your calendar for in the morning. We want it solved by 5 o'clock.
Put it on Don's list. He reads around.
Don loves it.
I'll talk to Don, and Don and I, it will be the Don and Steve show. How's that?
There you go. I like that.
Oh, you don't like that idea? Okay. It'll just be the Steve show.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be a priority. It bogs you down.
Yeah. We're going to cut out the college up in Bend because it's from Corvallis instead of from Eugene.
Moving right along.
Awesome. Something about the issue again.
Item 13 is request from the Lapine High School for $300 to accommodate their football program. There is a document here from Bob Metcalf, who is the coach, requesting $300 for an advertising sign for the football field during the entire football season. And he makes his case here on why it's a goodbye for us.
Mm-hmm.
You're first, Stu.
I didn't know we did this last year. We didn't? I don't remember it.
I thought we did.
It's not in the budget.
Well, there's a lot of stuff not in the budget.
I think we found money to do it, Ken. I think we did.
Yeah.
And we didn't even have a public meeting to do it.
Oh, really? Who decided?
I want to point out that we're approaching the witching hour.
Yes, you are.
At 8 o'clock. And I shall stop when we get to that point. So, is it the will of the council to, or the consent of the council to, consensus of the council to be part of the high school program?
Yes.
And, okay. Stu? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. Okay. We have consensus to bring this for approval to our next council meeting.
All right, moving onward, and I'll just take a minute.
Onward and upward.
The next item in this status update on Deschutes Lodge number 2, proposed alternative sanitary waste disposal method. If you recall, you'd asked me to bring this back for a workshop discussion on August 22nd. The applicant is in discussions with DEQ. They're just not there yet. DEQ said, why don't we just wait till we have a better understanding of the proposal and had a chance to look at it and talk to their engineering team. And at some point, the city will be involved in this, okay? And so I'm just, because it was to be brought back and because it's still out there, I just thought that I'd let you know that it's still out there. And say nothing more.
Thank you.
Any
question? Has the Little Deschutes Lodge 2 ever contacted our city manager? Because the council, if you will remember, directed the city manager to follow up on this and meet with him.
I don't recall that we in any way directed the city manager to meet with the the organization. I think my recollection is our instructions were is to look into this and also to bring back to accommodate some of this, along with bringing back the idea of what this really was, and that part of it's still laying out there. But also bring back, if in fact we were to look favorably upon this, what parts of our rules and policies and procedures would we have to change, or we would have to address to accommodate it? But I think it's well said in that this letter describes it very well. From Kelly Potter, who is a solutions team member for DEQ, and where the whole thing is. Stu, is that a...
Yeah, this email that's in here is pretty accurate, but I think it was the council's request to the city manager to bring back information so we could weigh the two sides.
Exactly.
And I don't think the city manager has been able to do that because of a request by the developer that the city manager not be at the table.
That's right. Exactly.
And out of this meeting that you and I attended, I heard references that they would be connecting to the water and sewer, which would mean hooking up to the city utilities, which triggers the city's involvement, and the city manager needs to be involved in that aspect of this whole project, because there were some terminology thrown out there that I have no idea what they were talking about, where the city manager, I think, would know. If he didn't, our hero Scott would know, because there are even questions asked about Scott's certificates. And they asked you about that, and you looked at me, and it's like, I don't know if Scott's certificate. So I think our city manager, for any other, you know, dealings in this whole project, needs to be considered and be at the table with this.
I think the connection the city has is with water and sewer. Mm-hmm. But I think that the construction portion of the building and the permitting process is through the county. Mm-hmm. And so I agree that we need to be involved in the water and sewer relationship. But when it comes to the other part, there's concern about interference with some things that have already been approved by the county. And I think that was a concern of why he was asked not to be involved in that part of it. But that's my understanding.
And that I believe is 100% correct. But it's going back to our trying to wean Rick Allen out of his role by finding someone to take his place, you know, to take over the utilities and all that. We're trying to do the same with our city manager. If he isn't involved with the planning somehow, how is he going to learn that role when it's going to become his job? So there has to be a combination there of him being involved and learning. I mean, it's just like any other job.
I think it's appropriate, very much so, that the city manager be involved with the sewer and water piece. It is part of us. It is what we are. Mm-hmm. At this point in our in this whole process. I know that just from what you and I and the parts that I understood, that it's a pretty straightforward event. There is no doubt that they're going to hook to sewer and water. And in this letter, it describes exactly the conditions or the whole layout of what that means. It really boils down to meaning that they may not return as much water to the sewer system as they pull through the water lines because of this trickle filter system and the reuse of the water in their operations. So, but there's no doubt about it. City manager needs to be involved, and those pieces are not, in my mind, complicated and you know, as far as
they're not complicated.
Well, I'm just what I mean by that is they got a hook, they got to hook up, mm-hmm. they're going to hook up, and our sewer and water department has a great deal of experience in doing all of this, mm-hmm. and in that, between them and the city manager, they ought to be able to say, sure, we're going down the road, and at some point in time, they're going to hook up. Complicated, sure. There's a whole litany of technical and laborious pieces to it, but it boils down to a simple, normal city process of it being done,
right,
in an appropriate fashion.
And because some of that other stuff, gray water mixing with clear water and white water and black water and solids and liquids and all, I don't want it. That's not my job. That's their job.
Of course.
And it goes to the city manager, who in turn gives the information to us. And
absolutely.
We make the decision. But going back to the building side of it, it's the same thing. We contract with the county to do our building permitting and inspection. But the city is ultimately responsible.
Is that true?
Yes.
That is true.
Yes.
We have an IGA with the county. They're really our contractor. It's because it's our city and it's our authorities. Mm-hmm. You rely upon our authorities to provide for the contracting. If we didn't have the authorities, they couldn't do it on our behalf.
I was under the impression until we had the LCDC approvals that we couldn't do that ourselves.
No. And in fact, keep in mind that when the land use comes this way, we will still contract with the county for building codes, because it wouldn't be cost-effective for us to go out and have a plumbing inspector or a building inspector. But we do want to beef it up. If we had more time this evening, I would talk about my interactions with the building people about building code issues, but we don't.
Well, and all I'm saying is the city manager needs to be involved, because the city is responsible.
You know, one thing I'd like to say too, you know, we're all talking about not putting a burden on our taxpayers. We don't know in this system what it's going to be 20 years, 30 years down the road. We don't know if the city's going to have to go in and take over a project that is a sewer system inside of a sewer system that belongs to the city. And if something goes wrong with this 20 years down the road, those people are going to be gone, because the people that are building it right now won't be here that long. They'll be dead. And we need to be careful if we approve this and let it go through. And I'll tell you, I always have thought that it's a good system. But we have to consider what's going to happen 40, 50 years down the road. And if it's not working at that time or requires excessive maintenance, who's going to pay for it? And they're going to be, it's going to drop right back to the city. They're going to be stuck for it. So are we going to open up something that's going to, that looks good today, and down the road we find out that it wasn't as good as we thought it was?
And on that, from what I heard, the system is working in other places. I have nothing against the system.
And the, yeah.
And the whole idea behind it.
Well, I think the idea behind it is great.
I just wanted to make, that I wasn't against it.
I don't see what the risk is if you can discontinue that system and dump it into our current support system, or then where's the risk?
It's a win-win situation. For DEQ, because if it doesn't work for them, they shut it down, and they're hooked to our system anyway, mm-hmm. and they remove it. The other side is, also is that, and to some of Don's points, this is a state-managed 60-year program. It has to, it is designed to manage itself for 60 years. And one of the concerns that they've had in coming up with this whole idea of minimizing their energy costs is getting it to a near net zero, is because we know that energy is going to continue going up. And if energy costs continue to go up, at some point in time, they will have to go back to the agency that's responsible, and that's the state, and ask for a level change in rent, which is set by state for the next 60 years with a some kind of cost of living increase or something. But but Stu has already talked about the fact that if it doesn't work,
just flush it.
You shut it down and...
Mm-hmm. You said it was self-maintained for 60 years. If that's the case, how come we got to get somebody to oversee it that's got a big high level?
I didn't say that. What I said was it's for 60 years, it has to support itself.
I thought you said it was self-maintained.
No, I didn't. No. It's not self-maintained. They're going to have a maintenance person that tends to it, and that's part of the hang-up right now.
And
so
we're not the experts.
Yeah, can we move along?
Yeah.
We've got about 28 seconds. Request for Lapine Park and Rec, you get 20 seconds then. Request for the, item 15, request for the Lapine Park and Rec District for funding assistance to provide for the care and maintenance of the Finley Butte ball fields.
Okay. Luckily, I prepared a document ahead of time outlining our request. Therefore, if you've had time to read it in your spare time between discussions, you will know that we are looking for some assistance for a city water bill to irrigate our fields, which we've run into issues with our pump and well system and our sprinkler heads due to sand. Due to a lot of community commitment, we have come to the point that we're at with the fields, and we would sincerely like to keep up a place for the youth and the community members in the neighborhood to have a green space that they could utilize.
Let me ask the city manager for staff input.
Finley Butte is a community park. It's a multi-purpose park. I think it's very important, not only to the citizens the community, but particularly the citizens are on in the view. What has happened is that back in 2008, the Park and Recreation District did not have a lot of money. And so they asked the Water District if they could forgive them of their water fees. And I've reviewed the minutes, and at that time, the Water District agreed for a 3 or 4 month period.
Six-month
period to eliminate their fees, thank you. And, but they never, the staff or whoever, never ever started charging them again. So then we go up to today, and the Sewer and Water District strolled over here a month ago, and of course we agreed as part of receiving them that we would adhere to all their policies and practices for fee structure that they had in place. And weren't aware of any discounts or some people got special treatment or anything else. So then, because that was their agreement, we sent the Water District or the Park and Recreation District a normal bill for the type of water that they were using, which was substantial. And all of a sudden they said, wait a minute, you know, we haven't been paying for it. So we researched why they weren't paying for it, found that wasn't a valid reason in our estimation. Plus, we don't have any policy that provides for forgiveness or any kind of modification of fees. So they're pretty much stuck until such times as we were to make for policy changes to the payment. And they're saying, look, in the scheme of things, we have a hard time making for this payment. Can you, because this is a public interest kind of a thing, a partnership kind of thing, can you help us with costs? And then, as Linda pointed out here, behind the scenes, yet we have another aspect, and that is possibly that by maintaining the integrity of these fields and giving the comfort level to a possible investor there, that you know, will be a partnership, that we might reap all kinds of fruits from that effort. So again, it's whatever you folks decide, but if you're asking staff thinks it's a good idea.
I would like to point out that we not only have a mystery investor that we only became aware of recently, but Sun River Resort has come over and visited with us several times. And they are working as hard as they can to figure out how we proceed from here as well. But until we can tell them that we have water that we can afford, that we can place on the fields and keep grass alive, they are hesitating to help us design a master plan and an irrigation system to expand, but we can't tell them that we can pay for water to put on it.
And Bob is also here. We ought to hear from him. He's actually the leadership for the Park and Recreation District.
Even if the forgiveness was only for a year or 2 years and something that you revisited later, we would appreciate at least consideration of that. I do not speak for the entire board, but I see where TRT funds might be able to be used. I think we'd be creative in getting the funds to pay for this through the city. I think that you're going to reap with this mystery investor that's been identified. I think that the use of his name, your forgiveness of the water debt would be a reason for him to consider even probably investing greater. So I think that in the long run, if we get Ashton Eaton Highway, if we get Ashton Eaton investing in that field, I think that the city's going to reap in leaps and bounds. I think that, again, even if it's just for a 2-year period and then you revisit it at that point, perhaps funding would be available then for the park. A new director coming on, I think that probably we're going to find something creative and we can come up with the money that would take it. So even if you would just forgive it for 1 year, 2 years, I think it would be a help.
Dan?
I assume that if the money hasn't been collected for some time for this.
We're assuming a forgiveness. That's sort of my posture. I don't know if that's your posture, but I wasn't looking to go try and recollect for all that time.
Okay.
Because it was with those folks over there. It wasn't with us. It would have been their obligation to collect. I don't know that we have an obligation to collect.
But my thought is that, so So that income stream probably wasn't worked into the budget because it wasn't collected in the last few years. So it's probably not going to have a budget impact not receiving those dollars.
True.
Okay.
True, because so, it wasn't factored in, therefore, you know.
Yeah. So I don't think it's going to have a negative budget impact on any operation or anything because it hasn't been collected already and we've already we're operating with the water district. So I would think that this would be a great opportunity for the city to partner with Parks and Rec and build on that partnership. There's probably things already, like Robert just said, you know, there's ways that they're going to benefit the city by providing an enhanced park and all those kind of things. So I think it's a great kind of give and take, just adds value to everybody's lifestyle. And it's something that I don't think we should limit it to a year or two. I think we should just say we're going to do it. I think it's, I don't see where there's a downside.
We have signs all over town that says we support our youth. And with that, I think that's my attitude.
Kathy?
I just look forward to what Linda's doing and I hope she gets to move forward on that proposal, whatever you have to do. And I fully support the youth. I think it should be just like...
We've had summer camp activities.
Get the stew, please.
Well, I'll start crying here pretty soon. Because, you know...
You get fined if you cry.
These going, driving by there 5 times a day, looking at that field closest to Finley Butte breaks your heart.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It does.
I mean, it was supposed to have been fixed. I was sitting at the meeting when they talked about drilling a new well and everything. And, you know, everyone's hopes were up there. And then they put in the fields out back, and they're beautiful green. You know, at least they were a little while ago. And then I think the director is about ready to mention the summer camps and going by there so many times and all the kids out there running around in their soccer uniforms and everything and having fun. And, you know, we've got the other park at the event center where they play soccer and these kids are out there just having a ball. And they're thinking, I'm going to come back here and I'm going to stay in Lapine. And that's what it's, I mean, that's what it's about. So I think we just need to open the valve for a while.
I support everything that's been said. I think it's all valid. My only concern is of course, that we develop this partnership. The only downside to it is I think the city manager has already explained that we don't have rules for exceptions. We need to have some kind of partnership where it's, we can say that when it's all done, that we get this value from them, and in place of the water, and we provide this service to them as a partner. I think that ought to be plain, so that when we have to support to other organizations that say, well, you did it for Park and Rec, why can't you do it for us? It has to be very plain that we did it, but we did it as a partnership, and we are getting like value in some form. So
let me throw out a couple of values. If that becomes a world-class facility over there, it is going to beef up the values of all the properties in proximity, and that means it's going to help stabilize the Huntington neighborhood, for example. And then we're going to get all the assessed valuations from the beefed up properties, and that will help our city coffers. So to the extent we can grow that, we'll grow the city.
And if it saves one kid from going out and smoking dope or buying crack, selling it to the next kid because they have that field to go and play in instead, that's worth more than the property value. So that means more than anything.
We've also missed one other piece, or not missed it, but we haven't spoke of it. is it's the economic development. Let me tell you what happens. I don't know if it was 10 years ago. We used to have softball tournaments in here. Mm-hmm. We used to have Little League tournaments in here that filled towns, that filled the grocery stores, filled, even probably got some money to the garbage company.
No, because we provided it for free.
you got good feelings. But anyway, there is another aspect. Yeah. If we had this world-class area, they will come.
They will come.
So,
Mr. Mayor, two last things, just some announcements. We are having an economic development meeting on Friday, August 24th, 11:30 here at the City Council. And this is a further discussion on Liggett. And then also on Wednesday, August 29th, at 10 o'clock, we're going to have our second emergency preparedness meeting. That's a very important thing to all of us. I'd encourage any and all people to come, if for no other reason, just to gain perspectives. Oh, and I guess maybe there's one other thing.
We have Cassell. It got installed today. I'm leaving for training next Tuesday for 3 days in Provo. So we're finally hedging along with our accounting software.
Super.
Yay.
Good job.
Super.
Anyway, thank everybody.
Yeah. We're at a point in time where we have public comment. Any further public comment? Gary?
I would like
12
to say
seconds.
One thing, real quick. You may not get a big dollar value, I don't know this for a fact, from Ashton, but everyone that he knows, from Phil Knight to, will be approached because Ashton's on board.
Leverage is what it's called.
Networking. I do want to thank Linda. She has a look at the fields for the Park and Rec District, and she's giving us advice. So,
but I still have no authority.
Oh, yes, you do.
We tried to give her some, but she refused.
She's a master gardener.
Are there any further comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move adjourn.
Second.
Third.
Well, that didn't take long.
All those in favor, we're adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for coming.
And it worked!